And right now, we're going to turn to a phone interview. I'm joined on the phone by Yuri Avnery. He is an Israeli journalist, left-wing peace activist, and former Knesset member who was originally a member of the right-wing revisionist Zionist movement. He's joining us to talk about the situation in Gaza for just a few minutes. Hello, Yuri.
I'm fine. Thank you.
So, you recently wrote a piece called How Israel is Multiplying Hamas by 1,000 Molten Lead in Gaza. Can you talk about what you were trying to say with that?
Of course, but Hamas cannot lose the war. Even if you kill the last Hamas member in Gaza, they will turn into national heroes as an object of admiration by every single Palestinian throughout the world, and by every single Arab, and maybe even Muslim, all over the world.
So, Yuri, how should Israel respond to the rockets? They say this is the reason for going in on such a massive scale in Gaza. If that is not the answer, what is?
First of all, that is not really the reason for the war. The decision to start the war was with the aim to destroy the Hamas government in Gaza. The rockets are a pretext, and they are a part of the situation. They are not the original cause of the situation. The original cause of the situation is the Israeli occupation of all Palestinian territories for the last 43 years. The specific circumstances are that Hamas won a victory in the Palestinian elections, the most democratic elections which ever took place in the Arab world. And the government of Israel decided, against our advice, I would say, to boycott this new government and to boycott Hamas. This led to Hamas taking over the government in Gaza. One has to understand, they had the majority of the vote in Gaza. They were voted into office by the Gaza population. They are not a foreign force in Gaza. They are the sons and the daughters of every family in Gaza. And therefore, this is not a war between two armies. It is a war between the fourth most mighty army in the world and maybe the second most mighty air force in the world against a few thousand activists, a few thousand militants who are the sons of the population. Now, there was a ceasefire in force, but this was a ceasefire in name only, because while the ceasefire was going on, our government laid siege to the Palestinian Gaza territory. It was a blockade, a total blockade on all four sides, with the help of Egypt. Egypt kept a tight blockade on the Gaza Strip from the south, while Israel, the government of Israel, kept a tight blockade all around, on land, in the sea, and in the air. Nothing could get into the Gaza Strip, nothing could get out. No food, no electricity, no water, no medicaments, no anything else which you need for your daily life or for your daily economy. This was an act of war against the Palestinians, and at the same time the Palestinians had an act of war against Israel in the form of the rockets. So you can ask yourself, what came first, the blockade or the rocket? It's like the question, what came first, the hen or the egg? This is very important to remember if one speaks about another ceasefire. A ceasefire which does not put an end to the blockade, which does not open the contact between the Gaza Strip, 1.5 million people in the Gaza Strip and the outside world, is no ceasefire at all and will not hold. And therefore, we in Gush Shalom and the other peace movements in Israel who are demonstrating against the war every day, including today, are demanding a real ceasefire, which means lifting the siege, lifting the blockade, stopping the rockets, stopping the fire by the Israeli army, and start to talk with Hamas. Hamas is a part of Palestinian reality. Whether one likes it or not, whether we like them or not, is immaterial. They are the majority in the Palestinian people, and we have to talk with them if we want to live with them. The fact that under Israeli auspices, there is under the Israeli occupation army, there is now a Palestinian police force acting under the occupation, does not mean anything, because the government elected in these elections, the all Palestinian government which was elected was overturned and dispersed by Abu Mazen, by Mahmoud Abbas, on the request of the Israeli and American governments. You don't have an elected government in the West Bank at this moment.
What would you say to somebody who said, well, Hamas is a terrorist organization, and because the Palestinian people elected them to power, voted them into power, they are now all a legitimate target of a response from Israel?
Well, I think this is what you are saying is an oxymoron. You cannot be a terrorist organization if you are elected by the majority of your people. Hamas is a movement with a military wing, but it's a political movement. It's a political party. They have a huge social, medical, educational infrastructure. They are a part of day-to-day Palestinian life. The fact that they are continuing to fight against the Israeli occupation does not make them more or less terrorist than any other movement all over the world which is fighting against a foreign occupation, including our own movement, terrorist movement. When I was young, we were fighting against the British occupation of Palestine. We were terrorists in the same sense.
Yuri, I just have one more question for you. Can you talk about the resistance within Israel to this? We're not hearing about it in the mainstream media here at all. I understand there was 10,000 in Tel Aviv last Saturday, but it was not reported anywhere, as far as I could find, in the mainstream press here. Can you talk about the resistance within Israel to what's happening in Gaza?
This is not new. This happened in all the other wars. In the resistance this time, the resistance to the war, the protest against the war, is bigger than it was at the beginning of the Lebanon War, of the Second Lebanon War and the First Lebanon War. Last war, in the first day, we had 100 protesters. This time we had, on the first day, 1,000 protesters. Saturday, after 1 week, we had 10,000. In the last war, we had 1,000. So this thing is bigger and quicker than last time, but I think that the majority attitude towards the war will change only if the Israeli government really decides on an onslaught on Gaza City, and the Israeli army will be put into the situation of fighting inside a densely populated area, actually the most densely populated area in the whole world. I think then the situation which in Israeli public opinion will change dramatically, and that is the reason why the Israeli government today is hesitating to give the order to start the real onslaught on the Palestinian population centers. Until now, the Israeli army is on the margin of the populated cities.
I'm sorry, if you could just answer one more thing, and that is, what are you calling on your government to do?
We say this very clearly. One, lift the blockade completely and immediately. Second, make a ceasefire, complete ceasefire, binding both parties. Third, start talking with Hamas. We cannot have any solution. We cannot have any quiet. We cannot have any ceasefire without talking with Hamas. It is a ridiculous situation at this moment. When Israel is talking with Egypt, Egypt is talking with Hamas, yes or no, and there's no real communication. You know, I'm very old, and 30 years ago, we were in the same situation with the Palestine Liberation Organization, with Yasser Arafat. I met Yasser Arafat in Beirut during the siege of Beirut in 1982. I was called a traitor, and the government tried to put me on trial for treason. But the same government, a few years later, signed a treaty with the PLO in Oslo. The same will happen with Hamas. Israel will, in the end, have a direct dialogue with Hamas because there's no other way out.
I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with me today, Yuri. And
thank you.
Take care, okay?
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Again, that was Yuri Avnery. He was speaking to me from his home in Israel. He is an Israeli journalist, left-wing peace activist, and former Knesset member who was originally a member of the Irgun, as he just referred to, a paramilitary group, which was also considered a terrorist group by many that fought against the British in Palestine. So he was joining me again from Israel, and he is also founder of Gush Shalom, which is the Israeli peace bloc. Their website is gush-shalom.org. That's gush-shalom.org. He recently wrote the piece, How Israel is Multiplying Hamas by 1,000 Molten Lead in Gaza. And in part, that article states that the ceasefire did not collapse because there was no real ceasefire to start with. The main requirement for any ceasefire in the Gaza Strip must be the opening of the border crossings. There can be no life in Gaza without a steady flow of supplies, but the crossings were not opened except for a few hours now and again. The blockade on land, on sea, and in the air against 1.5 million human beings is an act of war as much as any dropping of bombs or launching of rockets. It paralyzes life in the Gaza Strip, eliminating most sources of employment, pushing hundreds of thousands to the brink of starvation, stopping most hospitals from functioning, and disrupting the supply of electricity and water. And he also said that it was the Israeli government which set up Hamas to start with, and that a boss was not allowed the slightest political achievement. The negotiations under American auspices were a joke, and the most authentic Fatah leader, Marwan Barghouti, was sent to prison for life. Again, Yuri Avnery is the founder of Gush Shalom, the Israeli peace bloc, which can be found at gush-shalom.org. That's gush-shalom.org.